Okay, so like election law is already a pretty intense area, right? But then when you throw in questions about who can actually enforce those laws, like through private lawsuits, well, it gets even more complicated.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's exactly what makes the Supreme Court case we're going to dive into today, Brunner v. Ohio Republican Party from 2008, so important for law students. I mean, it gets to the core of how federal election rules actually play out in practice, you know?
Right. And like, especially like for anyone who's ever thought about the idea that like, hey, if you think a law is being broken, you should just be able to sue to fix it. This case is kind of a reality check.
Totally. And you know what we have today is a bunch of different sources that actually give us a bunch of different perspectives on Brunner. We've got excerpts from like a podcast that did an analysis of it. And then we've got this Perplexity analysis, which is kind of cool because it uses AI to break down legal concepts. And then we've also got a good old-fashioned standard legal brief to round things out.
Nice. So lots to dig into. And I guess we should also mention right off the bat that like 2008, the election year this case came out of, was a pretty wild time in Ohio. Lots of controversy surrounding voter registration and all that.
Yeah, very contentious. So to really get Brunner, I think it helps to understand what happened leading up to it. So the story really starts with this part of the Help America Vote Act of 2002, HGVA, you know, the one that was passed after the 2000 election
Oh,
debacles.
yeah, everyone remembers Hangin' Chad.
Exactly. So anyway, Section 303 of HGVA, it basically says states have to make sure that when someone registers to vote, they check that person's information against other government databases like the motor vehicle records.
Okay, makes sense. Trying to prevent like fraud or duplicate registrations, I guess.
Right, exactly. And so the Ohio Republican Party, they thought that Ohio's Secretary of State at the time, Jennifer Brunner, wasn't doing enough to follow that part of HGVA. Like they weren't doing these database checks properly.
So they sued her.
Yep. Straight to federal court they went. And get this, the district court, they actually issued a temporary restraining order, a TRO, you know, like basically telling Brunner to immediately update Ohio's entire statewide voter registration database, the SWVRD.
Whoa, hold up. So like a court just steps in and tells a state how to run its election system. Like that seems like a pretty big deal.
Right. And like especially close to an election, you can imagine the chaos that could cause.
Yeah, totally. So what did Brenner do?
So she goes to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, you know, trying to get that TRO thrown out, but no dice. They denied her motion.
So now she's got this court order hanging over her head, and the election is, I'm assuming, getting pretty close.
Yeah, so she takes this pretty drastic step. She goes straight to the Supreme Court and basically begs them to issue a stay, you know, to put a pause on the TRO while they figure things out.
Wow. Okay. So the Supreme Court now has this emergency appeal right before a major election. I bet they loved that. So, like, putting aside the whole voter registration drama for a sec,
Right.
what was the actual legal issue that the court had to grapple with?
Yeah, good question. So the big question wasn't actually about whether Ohio was doing a good job with its voter rolls or not. The real issue was, did the Ohio Republican Party even have the right to sue in federal court to enforce this part of HVA?
Wait, so like just because a law exists, it doesn't mean anyone can sue to enforce it.
That's exactly what the court had to figure out. Like we're talking about standing, you know, that legal concept of whether you're the right person to bring a lawsuit in the first place.
Ah, right, standing. That always trips people up.
Totally. So in this case, it boiled down to whether Congress, when they wrote HVA, specifically gave private parties the right to sue to enforce Section 303.
So they were looking for what, like some magic words in the law that said, hey, citizens, if a state messes this up, you can sue them.
Basically, yeah. And this is where those big precedent cases come in, the ones the court cited in Brunner. You got Gonzaga University v. Doe from 2002 and Alexander v. Sandoval from 2001. And both of them said that if Congress wants to give private citizens the power to enforce a federal law, it has to say so explicitly in the law itself.
Okay, so no reading between the lines. Congress has to spell it out.
Exactly. They need to use what we call rights-creating language. Like,
Huh.
if Hojava had literally said something like, any voter can sue a state that doesn't follow Section 303, then boom, the Ohio Republican Party would probably have had standing.
But they didn't.
Nope, not in that section anyway.
Gotcha. So, big picture, what did the Supreme Court actually decide in Brunner?
All right, so they issued what's called a per curiam decision, which basically means the whole court decided together, no single justice wrote the opinion, and they ended up siding with Brunner. They granted the stay and got rid of that TRO.
So no more court-ordered database overhaul for Ohio.
Nope, at least not because of that lawsuit. And the court's reasoning was basically, look, there's no clear evidence that Congress meant for private parties to be able to enforce Section 303 of HEF through lawsuits.
So back to those precedent cases, Gonzaga and Sandoval, the court was basically saying, hey, we already told you, Congress needs to be super clear if they want to give private citizens this kind of power.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the court specifically pointed out that they weren't deciding whether Ohio was actually following AGA correctly. They were just saying the Ohio Republican Party couldn't be the ones to bring that case to federal court.
So even if Ohio was totally messing up, the wrong group was trying to sue them.
Yeah, it kind of makes you wonder who could have sued then, right?
Yeah, good point. Okay, so for all us law students out there listening, like, why does this whole Brunner case matter? What are the big takeaways here?
Well, for starters, it shows how limited private enforcement of federal election law really is. Like, just because Congress says states have to do something, it doesn't mean any random person or group can sue to make them do it.
Right. It's not like some free-for-all where anyone who sees something they don't like can just file a lawsuit.
Exactly. And this also gets to a deeper point about the separation of powers. You know, like the idea that Congress makes the laws, the courts interpret them, and everyone stays in their lane.
Yeah, checks and balances and all that.
Right. So the court is saying, hey, Congress, if you want private citizens to be able to enforce your laws, you got to tell us directly. We're not going to just guess.
Makes sense. I guess it prevents the courts from creating like brand new legal rights that weren't intended by Congress.
Totally. And, you know, this has real world implications for how states actually run elections. Like, it means they have some breathing room. They don't have to constantly worry about getting sued by anyone who disagrees with their procedures.
Unless, of course, Congress has been very explicit in the law about who can sue.
Right, exactly. And then, you know, for us law students, Brunner is like a classic example of statutory interpretation in action, right? Mm-hmm. The court is like laser focused on the text of HVA, trying to figure out what Congress meant.
And it all comes down to those magic words, rights creating language.
Yep. Without that, no private right of action.
So the Ohio Republican Party, they were missing the golden ticket.
Pretty much. And, you know, one other thing that jumps out from the sources about Brunner is this whole issue of TROs.
Oh, yeah. Those things could be super disruptive, especially in an election context.
For sure. And, you know, since TROs are often issued really quickly, sometimes without even a full hearing, they can force changes to election rules with almost no warning.
And like, imagine the potential for abuse. Someone could file a bogus lawsuit just to try and mess things up.
Yeah, it's a real concern. And I think Brunner shows us that the Supreme Court is very aware of that danger. They're not going to let a TRO stand if the people who got it didn't even have the right to sue in the first place.
So high stakes, high scrutiny.
Exactly.
Okay, so last question. What's the ultimate message of Brunner v. Ohio Republican Party? Like, if we only remember one thing from this whole deep dive, what should it be?
I think it's this. Private parties can't just sue to enforce federal election laws willy-nilly. Unless Congress has clearly said in the law that they can sue, the courts are going to say no dice.
It's about respecting the limits of private action in a system that's already, you know, pretty complex and sensitive.
Yeah, and it also forces us to think about, like, if private lawsuits aren't the main way to make sure states follow federal election rules, then what is? Like, what other tools are out there?
Yeah, that's a good question to ponder. Maybe something for our listeners to research on their own.
Definitely lots to explore there.
Okay, so that was Brunner v. Ohio Republican Party, a case that's way more relevant than you might think at first glance. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, and keep those legal brains buzzing.
Absolutely. Always keep learning.